The following audio is from the weekly message at Summit Church in the Upstate of South Carolina. More information is available at summitupstate.org.
Good morning. How's everybody doing? Good. My name is Collins McCraw. Welcome to year 4 of 15 in the Psalms during the summer. So if you want to stick around with us till 2037, that'd be awesome. Doing that math, that means my son would turn 24 that year, which is crazy to think about. Sorry, Pam. Not a great start. All right. My name is Collins McCraw, and together with Pam, we help lead the Summit students, the 6th through 12th graders here, and it is awesome. This is the first time I haven't been booed walking to a stage in a while, so this is great. Thank you for not booing me on the way up this morning. The great news from today is 2 weeks from today, we will be coming home from Garden City Chapel Beach Camp right now. And so we covet your prayers. My back covers your prayers as we sleep on a piece of plywood for 4 nights. It would be great if you could pray for us in the coming weeks. That would be great. Today, we're going to start with those that know me, and maybe those who don't know me all that well, know that I am a scaredy cat. I am jumpy. I don't do scary movies. I don't do anything like that at all. In fact, my family takes a lot of pleasure in scaring me. And when I say that, I mean they just stand there, and I get scared. I jump, and some would equate the noise that comes out of my mouth as high-pitched. If you want to really kind of understand what that's like, think of a 3-year-old little girl and her screaming, and that's it. That's what happens. That's what comes out of my mouth. I think that there are different levels of scared. That's like a boo scared is what I would call it, right? Like you just see something around the corner and you get scared. A different kind of scared was I was 4 or 5 years old. My mom had to go to Walmart, and so we went to Walmart, and for whatever reason, she was like, yeah, 5-year-old, you can go to the sporting goods section by yourself, and I did, and once I was finished looking for what I was looking for, I turned around, and my mom was not there, right? And then, okay, I wasn't scared yet, right? But then you go down a couple of aisles, and you're like, am I ever going to see my mom again? And then it kept going. Like, I had walked the whole store. And this was pre-Supercenter Walmart on the east side. And so I literally walked the whole store and was really close to going to find someone and go, can you tell someone to go over the intercom and tell someone that I am lost? I have lost my mother, who would be eternally mortified. But there was this deep, deep panic that had set in when you're looking around as a child and you can't find your mom or your dad, right? That just inner peace was completely gone, and terror took over. Well, today, we're going to spend some time in one of the most authentic chapters of in all of Scripture, which is Psalm 31. And honestly, it's probably one of the reasons that I love the Psalms. They don't pretend that life is easy. They don't fake confidence. They don't act like faithful people never struggle. And the Psalms show us real people bringing real emotions to a real God. So if you'll, hopefully you have your Bible. If you don't have one, there should be one in front of you in the pew. And if you want to take that one home, you don't have a Bible, that is yours to keep today. But we're going to be reading from the ESV. So if you would read along with me, Psalm 31. In you, O Lord, do I take refuge. Let me never be put to shame. In your righteousness, deliver me. Incline your ear to me. Rescue me speedily. Be a rock of refuge for me, a strong fortress to save me. For you are my rock and my fortress, and for your name's sake, you lead me and guide me. You take me out of the net that they have hidden for me, for you are my refuge. Into your hand I commit my spirit. You have redeemed me, O Lord, faithful God. I hate those who pay regard to worthless idols, but I will trust in the Lord. I will rejoice and be glad in your steadfast love because you have seen my affliction. You have known the distress of my soul, and you have not delivered me into the hand of the enemy. You have set my feet in a broad place. Be gracious to me, O Lord, for I am in distress. My eye is wasted from grief, my soul and my body also. For my life is spent with sorrow and my years with sighing. My strength fails because of my iniquity, and my bones waste away. Because of all my adversaries, I have become a reproach, especially to my neighbors, and an object of dread to my acquaintances. Those who see me in the street flee from me. I have been forgotten like one who is dead. I have become like a broken vessel. For I hear the whispering of many, terror on every side, as they scheme together against me, as they plot to take my life. But I trust in you, O Lord. I say, you are my God. My times are in your hand. Rescue me from the hand of my enemies and from my persecutors. Make your face shine upon your servant. Save me in your steadfast love. O Lord, let me not be put to shame, for I call upon you. Let the wicked be put to shame. Let them go silently to Sheol. Let the lying lips be mute, which speak insolently against the righteous in pride and contempt. Oh, how abundant is your goodness, which you have stored up for those who fear you and worked for those who take refuge in you in the sight of the children of mankind. In the cover of your presence, you hide them from plots of men. You store them in your shelter from the strife of tongues. Blessed be the Lord, for he has wondrously shown his steadfast love to me when I was in a besieged city. I've said in my alarm, I am cut off from your sight, but you heard the voice of my pleas for mercy when I cried to you for help. Love the Lord, all you his saints. The Lord preserves the faithful, but abundantly repays the one who acts in pride. Be strong and let your heart take courage, all you who wait for the Lord. Psalm 31 was written by David. And when he writes this psalm, you can tell he's overwhelmed. He feels attacked, he feels exhausted, forgotten, anxious, and he's afraid. But at the same time, he keeps returning to one truth. God is still trustworthy. And maybe that's exactly what some of us need to hear this morning, right? Because sometimes life feels stable and easy, but other times, families go through difficult seasons. Friendships break apart. Anxiety gets really loud. Grief settles in unexpectedly. The future feels uncertain. And you pray and you wonder if God is listening. You come to church smiling and privately feeling exhausted inside. Psalm 31 is going to meet us exactly there. This morning, I want us to look at three truths from this chapter. If you're a note taker, I'll take my time going through these. But number one, God is our refuge in trouble. And I'll reiterate these as we keep going through. But number two, our times are in God's hands. And number three, God's steadfast love is stronger than our fear. So we'll start with number one, God is our refuge in trouble. Notice how David begins this psalm in this way. In you, O Lord, do I take refuge. Let me never be put to shame. In your righteousness, deliver me. And David doesn't say, God, I figured it out. He doesn't say, I handled all of this by myself. Nor does he say, everything's fine. He says, God, I am running straight to you. A refuge is a safe place during danger. Think about a storm shelter during a tornado warning. The storm and the danger are both real. But there is protection inside the shelter. And that's the image that David uses for God. And here's something important. David is not saying that faithful people never struggle. Actually, throughout this psalm, David talks about his enemies, his fear, his grief, his exhaustion, and his loneliness. Faith does not mean that life becomes painless. Rather, faith means that we know where to run when life really hurts. A lot of people run to things that can't save them. They run to success. They run to relationships, good and bad. They run to distractions. They run to achievement or to approval. Some run to just pretending that they're okay. But none of those things can hold the weight of your soul. Only God can be a refuge. David says in verses 2 and 3, "Be a rock of refuge for me, a strong fortress to save me. For you are my rock and my fortress, and for your name's sake, you lead me and guide me." And a fortress is strong even when everything outside is chaotic. And that matters because our culture today constantly tells us you should be strong enough on your own, right? But God says something very different. He says that you were never meant to carry this life alone. God invites you to bring him your fear and your stress and your confusion, your disappointment, and your pain. And one of the biggest lies that we believe as Christians today is that if I struggle, then my faith can't be real. That is false. And Psalm 31 completely destroys that lie. David struggles deeply, and yet he keeps praying. Faith isn't the absence of struggle. Faith is continuing to run toward God in the midst of the struggle. And our second point today is our times are in God's hands. And this section may be the most famous part of the psalm. In verse 15, David says, "My times are in your hands." And what a powerful sentence that is. He doesn't say God is part of my life. He doesn't say it's during the easy seasons only. He says my times, all of the times. The joyful moments, the confusing moments, the painful moments, the waiting seasons, and the unanswered prayers. It's the future that I can't see. All of it is in your hands, God. And let's be honest about a couple of things. Most of us want control. I love it. It's one of the things that I want the most in life. I don't know about you. And there are five things that I tend to think about often that maybe collectively all of us want to know. What's going to happen? Will things work out? Will this situation improve? Will my family be okay? What does my future look like? Anybody else ask those questions? It's funny, we were talking about different kinds of fear, right? Me being scared all the time is one. But being like abandoned in Walmart is another one. But it changes and fear is different as you get older, right? In 2013, Toby was born in June, and then in October, at the time, I was recruiting the state of Virginia for Wofford, and so I had been asked to go do a program at this ritzy boarding school in Virginia, and so it was a multi-day thing. They have a guest house at this school, so I asked the college counselor, "Hey, can I bring my family to this and like just kind of make it a trip?" Don't know what we were doing bringing a four-month-old. Anyway, it doesn't matter. So we get there. I do the program. It's fine. And on the way home, we stopped in North Carolina to hang out with some of Pam's family. And we went to dinner. And when we got back to the hotel that night, she was like, I don't feel good. Something's not right. And I was like, well, maybe it's just something you ate. Who knows what's happening? As all husbands just, you'll be fine. Maybe that's just me. Whoops. But the next morning, we got up, and she was like, "No, I'm really, really hurting." And that was when it changed, right? Like, that's when the headspace shifted pretty significantly of, we have a four-month-old. My wife is in pain that I've never heard her talk about before, and we are 3.5 hours away from home. And so that panic starts to really set in quickly. Not only is my wife going to be okay, but if this child screams for 3.5 hours on the way home, I might drive us off a cliff. I remember getting in the car. Toby's in the back seat, obviously. And I remember Pam like laying down the seat And I just looked over and I was like, oh my goodness, like that is real pain. And then I started getting really worried, right? And so as I mentioned, like that fear shifts pretty significantly. But I think that here, Psalm 31 encapsulates all of that fear, right? Because what I wanted in that moment was to know that my wife was going to be okay, right? I wanted to know that my son was going to be okay in the back seat by himself at the time. And so it's just, we want certainty in our lives. And David reminds us that peace does not come from controlling everything. Peace comes from trusting the one who already holds everything. There is a huge difference in those two things. And this is hard because waiting is uncomfortable, right? We live in a world where everything is instant. Instant communication, instant answers, instant information. But spiritual growth is usually slow. Trust is built slowly. Character is built slowly. Faith is built slowly. And sometimes God works in that waiting period. Sometimes God shapes us before he changes our situation. And I think one of the hardest things for believers is trusting that God is still working even when we can't see that he is working. But throughout Scripture, God is constantly active in hidden seasons. Think about Joseph. For years of his life, it just didn't make any sense. Think about Moses spending decades in the wilderness. Think about Esther stepping into uncertainty without knowing the outcome. And ultimately, think about Jesus. Even the disciples thought that the cross that he was headed for meant failure. But God was accomplishing salvation through what looked hopeless at the time. So when David says that my times are in your hands, he's declaring, God, I don't understand everything, but I do trust you with my life. And that is real faith. And finally, our third point today, God's steadfast love is stronger than our fear. Psalm 31 gets emotional. David says in verse 12, I've been forgotten like one who is dead. I have become like a broken vessel. That's really strong language. David feels discarded, overwhelmed, worn down. And honestly, some people in this room probably identify that pretty strongly right now. You can be surrounded by people and still feel lonely. You can look fine outwardly while struggling inwardly. But the turning point of the psalm comes in verse 14. But I trust in you, O Lord. I say, you are my God. And that word, but, matters so much. David acknowledges his fear, but he chooses trust. That is courage. Courage isn't pretending that fear doesn't exist. Courage is trusting God while the fear exists. And then David says in verse 19, oh, how abundant is your goodness, which you have stored up for those who fear you. David moves from panic to praise. Not because his circumstances have instantly changed, but because his perspective changed. He remembered who God is. And this psalm becomes even more powerful when we realize something. Jesus quoted this psalm. On the cross, he prayed, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. That's from Luke chapter 23, verse 46. Those words come directly from Psalm 31, verse 5. Think about that. In his darkest moment, Jesus prayed the words of this psalm. And that means that Psalm 31 isn't just about David's suffering. It points us to Christ. Jesus understands pain. He understands betrayal. He understands grief. He understands rejection. And because of his death and resurrection, suffering does not get the final word. Fear doesn't get the final word. Sin doesn't get the final word. Death does not get the final word. Jesus does. So what do we do with this? What do we do with Psalm 31? I've got three quick challenges for you. Number one, run to God honestly. Stop thinking that your prayer has to sound perfect and polished. David's prayers here in this psalm are emotional. They're raw. They're real. God already knows your heart anyway. Bring him your worry and your fear and your frustration and your disappointment. God isn't scared of your honesty. Number two, trust God with the future that you cannot control. And I've been trying to tell myself this a lot. Some of us are carrying stress about tomorrow. Some of us are carrying stress about the next day. Some of us are carrying stress about beach camp in 10 days. But Psalm 31 reminds us that your future is not random. My times are in your hand. And that doesn't mean that life will always be easy, but it does mean that God will always be faithful. And three, remember that Jesus understands suffering. You are never alone in your pain because Jesus entered human suffering himself. And because he rose again, hope is never gone. Even in hard seasons, even in uncertainty, even when you can't see what God is doing, hope is never gone. I'm going to ask the band to go ahead and come back up on stage. And we're going to conclude this way. Psalm 31 ends with, "Be strong and let your heart take courage, all you who wait for the Lord." Notice here that David doesn't say, "Be strong because life is easy." He says, "Be strong because your hope is in the Lord." And that's the difference. Your strength will fail sometimes. Your emotions are going to rise and fall. Other people will disappoint you, but God remains faithful. So when life feels uncertain and when your fears get loud and when the future feels unclear, remember the words of the psalm, "My times are in your hand," and those are good hands to be in. Let's pray. Father, thank you for being our refuge when life feels overwhelming. Thank you that we do not have to pretend to be strong all the time. Thank you for loving us in every season, in fear, in doubt, in pain, and in joy. Help us trust you with our future. Teach us to run to you instead of away from you. Remind us that Jesus understands suffering and walks with us through every season of life. And today, Lord, help us rest in this truth. Our times are in your hands. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for joining us for this week's message. Summit Upstate's mission is to give every man, woman, and child repeated opportunities to see, hear, and respond to the gospel. We'd love to connect with you, so we invite you to reach out to us at summitupstate.org.